Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as far as social media is concerned, it's a done deal. The reports are that Aaron Taylor-Johnson is the next James Bond. So what is the actual process of casting? Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie is here to run us through it. Afternoon, Brian.
How you doing?
Do you put credence on this Aaron Taylor-Johnson thing?
Well, okay, so the source of this came from The Sun. And if The Sun told me that the grass was green, I'd look down and double check. Because the reality of it is that when it comes to casting news like this, you can pretty much say Kermit the Frog is going to play the next James Bond. And you can just say, oh, well, it's a rumour and that's it, because casting news is never confirmed until it's actually announced. But there's a blind item Instagram account called Dumois that had this a couple of months back. They said that Aaron Taylor-Johnson had seemingly recorded like a 30-second teaser, if you like, of him saying the famous line. I personally think that he was probably screen tested and that's what they saw. That being said, I mean, his name has been mentioned multiple times as being a possible runner for Theo James, who is in Netflix's The Gentleman. Yeah. He was mentioned as well. I know Joe Alwyn was mentioned as well at one point. Like, they've had basically a list of every actor, every English or Scottish actor between the ages of 30 and 40 has been mentioned at some point as playing Bond. I mean, I even remember Cillian Murphy was being floated at one point.
Oh, that was it. He was asked, is that the Oscars?
Yeah,
apparently.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, it's, you know, there are any number of actors that could potentially play the role, because the role itself is so kind of defined by the person that plays it. I think that, you know, any actor who could come to it could bring something different to it. Like, you go back and look at how different Roger Moore was from Sean Connery and how different Timothy Dalton was from Pierce Brosnan, and you can see that each actor does bring their own inflection to it.
Do they actually have cast them in the sense of come and, you know, do reads?
Oh yeah,
let's look at you with your shirt off, that kind of thing.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And like, I mean, the casting process is probably one of the most involved, I would think, in Hollywood, because, you know, It's a billion-dollar franchise. They have to get it right, and you immediately become one of the most famous actors in the world as a result. Like, you become a household name literally overnight. I mean, Daniel Craig, before he did this, I mean, I think the biggest film he had done up until that point was Layer Cake, which was this kind of like British crime drama.
You might have seen it with
Michael Gambon and Colin Meaney was in it. And he'd been kind of building a steady enough resume. Like, he'd been doing a lot of BBC period dramas as well and stuff like that. But the minute he became Bond, I mean, that was it. Everyone knew who he was. Pierce Brosnan, I mean, fair enough, he had done Remington Steele or whatever.
Which was very Bond-like.
But, like, I mean, he was, again, not that terribly well-known, but he went through a very lengthy casting process, had met Albert Broccoli, Cubby Broccoli and all of those, and in fact was nearly going to replace Roger Moore, but he was basically nixed at the last moment because they thought he was too young to play a convincing Bond. So then they brought in Timothy Dalton, who looked a bit more weathered, had a bit more of a screen presence, and was, I suppose, kind of a reflection of the time that it was set in, because, you know, The Living Daylights and License to Kill was kind of like at the latter end of the 80s, where you had, like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, like big kind of like darker kind of action heroes, if you like, which were more, had no qualms about killing lots of people, you know?
Yeah. So they do cast them. Do they always tend to go then for slightly less well-known actors?
They do, yeah.
Is that because it's cheaper or because they don't want preconceptions?
A bit of both, really. Like, in terms of, I know with Roger Moore and stuff like that, like, they were cast on the idea of, I mean, I think the biggest thing he'd done up until this point was probably like The Pretenders or something like that with Tony Curtis, if you remember. Yeah. And he did The Saint as well. But again, known in a very sort of local sense, like primarily with UK and Irish audiences, didn't really have a big American following. But yeah, I mean, they signed him up for like 5, 6, 7 films if they can. So they wanted to start off the lowest possible amount that they have to pay them, so that by the time they get to the 4th or 5th or 6th film, they're paying them full whack. But I mean, by that stage, they have a guaranteed audience. They have a guaranteed amount. Like, I think by the end, Daniel Craig was open about the fact that, I think it was after, I think it was either after Skyfall or one of them anyway, he was basically on record as saying, the only reason I do another one is for the money. There's no other reason.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, he did do it. He did No Time to Die, and they literally drove a truck full of money up to his house, and he was like, okay, one more time, yeah. And that was it. Like,
yeah, so. And no spoilers, but he fell into that truck of money and they set fire to it. So yeah. how are they going to get around that?
I mean, look,
or does it matter?
Doesn't really matter. I mean, there's always been that sort of long-standing fan theory, if you like, that each James Bond is a code name, the same way the 007 is a code name. So essentially each different version of Bond is a different person in that reality taking on the moniker of James Bond, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, yeah. It's clever enough. Yeah. It's clever enough.
But like, it's Marvel stuff.
That's it, isn't it? Like, that's it. But then again, like, you have to remember, Bond is basically Marvel for conservatives.
Yeah, true.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, Bond is Marvel for Tories. Like, I mean, you go back as far as, like, no, it is. It totally is. Britain is ruling the world and has this overfunded secret service. That
he got Brexit done. James Bond did.
Yeah. He did. But, like, I mean, you go back and look at Thunderball, for example. Like, that was an out-and-out comic book movie. Like, he had a jetpack and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's ridiculous. Like, Pierce Brosnan had a vanishing Aston Martin that had a cloaking device on it. So, like, come on, like, it's clearly.
Oh, yeah, I had the underwater one as well.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Yeah, like the Lotus. Yeah, when it went into the water in, was it not Live and Let Die? It was Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
So, like, Bond is a Marvel thing. Like, so you're saying, like, oh, why would they do that? But, like, come on. Like, it's basically a comic book movie.
But given that, is there, if it is this Aaron Taylor Johnson, is he a wee bit, would he be younger?
He'd be on
than
the young side. Yeah, he would. Yeah, in fairness, he would be on the young side because, I mean, generally speaking, they always have been kind of late 30s to early 40s. And, I mean, even if you go back and read, like, the Ian Fleming novels, like Dr. No, for example, Bond is always being cast as an older man. Like, he's always slightly over the hill. He's always a little bit behind the times. And he's also, dare I say it, a little bit naff. Like, you know, that kind of way. That is kind of built into the character that he has this sort of high-minded cynicism, you know? And casting Aaron Taylor Johnson, it says to me, if it does end up being him, and again, I'm very, very skeptical that it is going to be him. I think it'll be a younger actor. I just don't think it'll be him. But if it does end up being him, they are obviously trying to pitch it as Bond as a young man. How did he become Bond? How did he get the 00 rating and all the
but
rest
isn't
of
that when they started
that's
series.
What they did with Casino Royale. So they're just going to be treading it over again and again. And that's ultimately what Bond is. It's just the same kind of parts changed out but then replaced with somebody else. Like, I mean, how many times, I mean, there's how many Blofelds have there been? Do you know what I mean?
Like, fair enough. And why is it just because The Sun reported it might be Aaron Taylor Johnson? Or is there
No, it's The Sun. Like, I wouldn't, again, like I said, if The Sun told me the sky was blue, I'd look up and check. If told me the grass
okay. was blue. But maybe is Aaron Taylor Johnson maybe a wee bit too well known?
To a degree. I mean, like, yes, he has been in stuff like, you know, he was in most recently Bullet Train with Brad Pitt. He was in this great comic book movie called Kick-Ass, which was great. Chloe Grace Moretz and Nicolas Cage was in it. The one that I kind of knew him from, the one that kind of broke him onto the scene, was Nowhere Boy, which was this kind of biopic of a young John Lennon that was directed by his eventual wife, Sam Taylor Wood. But yeah, I mean, he's always been kind of in a supporting role. He's never really been in a lead role in a big blockbuster movie. Like, even when he was in Avengers Age of Ultron, he was one of several baddies in that. He wasn't the lead kind of villain in it, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I mean, he's a little bit, I suppose, more known than most, but not to the point of he is, you know, a household name.
Daniel Craig. Character.
Yeah.
Does it ever become known if people turn down the role?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of actors have turned it down. I remember Gerard Butler, I think, was up for it at one point, and I think they offered it to him. He was in the Daniel Craig era. And I think the reason he turned it down was because he was basically going to be locked into like a 5-picture deal and he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it. Now,
he should have.
Because
he's basically been making the same film over and over again.
Like,
since
I mean,
then.
Olympus Has Fallen and all those are basically just Bond films by any other name. And I would say there's probably an element of trying to rewrite history in it as well, as in, like, he was like, no, I didn't want it because I didn't want to be signed up to that kind of stuff. I mean, I remember Sam Neill did a screen test as well for the Timothy Dalton era one.
Yeah.
And he talked about it. Oh, I was so glad I didn't get it because I would have been terrible at it. I just wasn't the right character. I wasn't the right actor for it. And he's right. I mean, yeah. Just, you couldn't imagine Sam Neill as Bond. Yeah, like, and yeah. If you can find the screen test on YouTube. Like, he looks ridiculous. Like, he just doesn't look right at all. Like, and it's you do get some actors that not necessarily turn it down, but when they find out they haven't got it, there's kind of a moment of relief that they haven't got it. Yeah,
but they and still in all, even if they know damn well they're not right for it, they'll still do the screen test. I suppose
you kind of have to make the effort and be seen to be wanting the work. Like, you know, that kind of. And I mean, I can see why some actors are reticent to do it because, like, you know, Roger Moore. For the rest of his days after Bond, he was always associated. Sean Connery literally went off and did Zardoz, if you ever saw that sci-fi film by John Borman.
Wasn't that shot in Ireland?
It was shot in Wicklow, yeah. It's one where he's wearing the red knickers.
Yeah.
He literally did that because it was like, I will do literally anything other than Bond. I will literally go stand out in the middle of the Wicklow Mountains in red knickers and a big ponytail just to be so I won't be associated with Bond. I mean, Daniel Craig has done well in that. He's done like Knives Out and Glass Onion. Mm. He's really tried to separate himself from the role. And I think as well, he's probably one of the most talented actors to play Bond because he does have that versatility baked in.
Yeah.
Somebody like Roger Moore, he was always going to be Bond and nothing else. Like, and Sean Connery, I think he was a great actor, but I mean, he really had to work hard to remove Bond from his sort of filmography. Like, he went off and did, like, you know, The Name of the Rose and The Hunt for Red October, but people still always had him in his mind as Bond, you know?
It's true, yeah. Well, we shall find out, I suppose. When might they announce it, do you think?
I mean, I will say, like, Eon Productions, the company that are over the kind of the Bond franchise, they're very good at keeping secrets. So this won't get announced until it's announced.
Okay, kind of like spies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian Lloyd, thanks a million for coming into us. Brian Lloyd there from entertainment.ie.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.